Howdy, folks. This is Dr. Matt Grishup, director of the Grimm Family Center for Organic Production and Research at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, and you're joining us for Organic Chat. So, Rowan, thank you so much for joining us today. Would you mind starting out by just telling us a little bit about who you are, how you got here, what you do on the farm?
Yeah, absolutely, Matt. Thank you for having me. My name is Rowan Garcia. I am a third-year environmental management and protection major, minoring in sustainable agriculture. I started working here over the past summer 2023, after doing the hiring process for the organic research program here. And I've been working here since July. And I also had some experience with the Organic Enterprise Project back in my freshman year of
Being a student. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I've not a stranger, but I've definitely learned a lot more since then after taking a considerably long break and then coming back to it. So yeah, I'm happy to work here. And
excellent. So I realize there's not, any one given day on the farm. Ag is changing all the time. But, with that said, what is kind of a standard or average day look like for you when you're here working?
Yeah, so an average day. Over the summer, we worked 40 hours a week, from 8 to 3, and pretty much it was the same thing. We go out, we harvest, and then once we're done harvesting, whatever any of the vendors need, say farmers markets, Fawns, Cal Poly Meats, those are one of our primary vendors that we do deliver produce to. We harvest that and we send it here over to the crops unit. Then we process, package, and then we store it in the coolers. And on some days we do some cleaning, a little bit of housekeeping to make sure everything is tidy. But yeah, that's usually a normal day on the farm. It's pretty busy. There's always something to do. Mm-hmm. Definitely no time for slacking off. So yeah, it's always pretty busy, and
that's
I like that. Yeah.
So what are some of your favorite things that you get to do as part of your work here? What are some of the tasks you enjoy the most?
Yeah, I definitely love harvesting out in the field. I just love being out in nature and just going at it, just working, and just harvesting. My favorite thing that I love to harvest here, I would have to say, are the broccoli, because they always produce such just beautiful heads of green deliciousness. And I'd say working with the people, that's one of my top favorite things. So coming from a non-agricultural background, I've had no experience or contact with anybody working with farms, or just anybody who works in the ag industry. Coming here to Cal Poly is my first exposure to agriculture.
Oh, cool.
So coming to work here, I've definitely learned a lot about something that I've honestly underappreciated my entire life, is how I get my food and where that food comes from. So working with you, working with Kelly, working with Jill, on how everything is managed, how everything is harvested from the field, being delivered to farmers markets, to locals, and to feed them. It's definitely a big, huge eye-opening and learning experience for me as a person who has never done farming in his life. So, yeah.
Well, that's great.
Definitely.
So, when you came to Cal Poly, did you know you wanted to work in agriculture, or were you thinking you wanted to do something else?
That's actually pretty funny, because I actually started out as a plant science major.
Okay.
Coming into Cal Poly, and that choice was this is going to be unbelievable, but it sounded like a fun major, and I thought I would enjoy it, but things turned out differently. And, after talking to the right people and to guide me towards, what I want to strive for in my education, I decided to switch my major to environmental management, because I do want to learn more about the policies that go into all the stuff that we're doing. So sustainable development, sustainable agriculture, all the policies, the talk, the socioeconomics, the ecological side of it. I just want to learn more of that. But since I did take classes in plant science, I did want to carry over that previous knowledge and apply it to my minor, which I'm doing, which is sustainable agriculture. And then doing this job has definitely been the cherry on top to my educational career and my future career as someone who does want to pursue sustainable agriculture. So, yeah, I feel like this job has definitely made me have a more well-rounded idea of what I want to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like doing this and working and learning how things are run around here has definitely polished what I want to do as a future career.
Yeah, it's certainly one thing to talk about irrigation or picking broccoli or weeding or any of the other myriad things we do for, as part of agriculture, but it's certainly quite another thing to put your hands to it and do it.
Yeah, I'm sticking to our motto, learn by doing. And I definitely feel like that motto has definitely, it has definitely helped me fully understanding what I want to do with my life and
So that actually brings up a great question, Rowan. So what do you see next for yourself? So after you've graduated, so you've got a year and some left, or maybe a little less than a year left with us, something like that. Mm-hmm. What would be the ideal next step for you? What are you hoping to do next?
I would say, since this is one of, one of the exposures I've had to sustainable farming. Mm-hmm. I've had previous experience with similar systems like this, but on a more different scale. Mm-hmm. So about 2 years ago, I was part of the Regenerative Field Institute in Chone, Ecuador. Like I said, that's how I kind of got into this in the first place.
Like more towards Guayaquil and the coast, or is it over like on the Amazon side?
Yeah, so we landed in Guayaquil. So it's in between Quito and Guayaquil. It's a province called Manabí.
Okay.
And it's like more of a coastal town, but there's also... what's it called? There's also mountainous regions where they do produce cacao and other tropical fruits. So it's more in the mountainous regions. We did stay in the coastal town. There's a town called Bahía de Carques. Mm-hmm. It was impacted by, I believe, a 8.1 magnitude earthquake around 2016. And that's how the organization started, actually, is that the organizer for the program, Lucas Ocean, he developed the Regenerative Field Institute in response to the earthquakes.
Oh, wow.
So along with regenerative farming, they do bamboo construction.
Okay.
So they educated the public on the uses of bamboo and how it can be used in situations like these. So they made like thousands of houses, huts. They also used, they built a lot of infrastructure just using bamboo. And it's pretty astonishing too of how strong bamboo is. Mm-hmm. It's like really hard, like really tough, and can sustain a lot of like pressure and it's a really useful it's very useful in that sort of scenario.
Oh, cool.
And I learned about sustainable agroforestry, which is basically a sustainable system that involves polycropping. So it's a lot of different trees, plants that help work together to produce other cash crops. So there's nitrogenous trees that help fixate nitrogen into the soil, and there's grasses that help retain soil form and moisture, and that helps benefits other crops that are being grown to be sold out to markets like cacao, bananas, cassava, papaya, a whole bunch of different tropical fruits. So that honestly kind of got me into wanting to pursue more sustainable farming. So that's why I applied for this job, so I can learn more of how we do sustainable farming in the United States, because different places in the world, different environment, different culture, how that affects, how food is being distributed and how it's being eaten. And coming here, I've definitely got a good grasp on how organic farms run. So in the future, I do want to pursue more of that, learning more about the organic process as well as other forms of sustainable agriculture. Mm-hmm. I've recently joined a club called the Cal Poly Grow Crew.
Yeah.
And they,
I'm familiar. Dr. Sarah Kuahawa.
Dr. Kuahawa.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, she's great. She's really cool. She is focusing on aeroponics and hydroponics. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole system that's growing lettuce hydroponically, and I do want to learn more of that as well as other forms of sustainable.
So you're taking it from the very soil-centric approach we have here, being more kind of a core organic reality, and then you're also now learning about the more sort of high-tech aeroponic, hydroponic, vertical farming, protected culture type act. That's really neat. That's a great opportunity.
I just want to broaden my list of things that I want to learn. Never stop learning. That's
great.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
That's what I want to do.
So you brought up the organic word. So one question I ask just about everybody on this podcast is, what does organic agriculture mean to you? I mean, what characterizes organic farming for you, Ron?
Yeah, so coming here, I feel like the definition of organic for me has changed a lot, because at first when I first ever heard the word organic, I thought it was just, okay, they just put it in the soil and then it grows, they harvest it and then they give it out, rinse it off, rinse all the dirt out, and then you're fine.
Organic by neglect.
Organic by, yes, yeah, organic washing. But yeah, but coming here, I've definitely learned that is not the reality. We do still implement a lot of practices that other farmers use, like for conventional, but it's not on that level. There's of course, those restrictions. There's certain applications that you have to abide by to be certified organic. I learned that we use not pesticides, but bug deterrent, which is diatomaceous earth. So that is used as you probably know, Matt, we use that as a bug deterrent. And then we also use fertilizer, which I thought when I first tore organic, I thought fertilizer wasn't used at all. I thought it was just naturally from the soil. It just takes whatever nutrients is in the soil, whatever water is there, and just grows. But we still have, use fertilizer out in the field. And that was honestly pretty surprising to me. So yeah, definitely has changed for me, the definition of organic.
You've been working on the farm now, you're finishing up your first year, so you've probably had a lot of time to learn things. Oh, yeah. What would you say, what's the biggest sort of takeaway you've had? Or is there a single moment or a day or something you did where, you know, a light bulb really went on, or, you know, you felt really inspired by what you learned?
Yeah, I would say, I learned many things on the farm. Kelly is a great boss. He's a great teacher. He has a lot of knowledge on how to run a farm. I would say it's the efficiency and, I would say working hard and being efficient, because over the summer it was really hot. So we had to get a lot of things done in a short amount of time before we, you know, overheat and weren't able to work. So I would say that I've definitely learned how to be more of a hard worker and to have a good work ethic and mindset while being out in the field. I've definitely taken that to heart as a farmer.
So it sounds like work smarter and harder.
And harder, yes. You could do both at the same time as long as you balance it out. Definitely do it.
It's amazing. Agriculture will help you with that pretty quick, because there's a lot of repetitive tasks, and sometimes it's interesting how much the order you do them in even matters, right?
Right.
I guess that's true of a lot of things. I mean, I've certainly seen that in other activities like carpentry or even cleaning.
Right.
You know, there's the old adage of not painting yourself into a corner, right? You start from the corner and work out.
Exactly.
That's great. So one other question I like to ask students who've been working here is, and if you're not comfortable sharing us, that this is all right. What is the single biggest sort of like oops or mistake that you've made that you're comfortable talking about, and what did you learn from it?
It was over the summer. It was like my first 3 weeks working, and we were setting up irrigation. So this was my first time, not my first time setting up the irrigation lines, because I did have experience in the organics enterprise, but it was the was turning on the irrigation pipes. So now I know is that you're supposed to slowly release the water so that pressure doesn't build up and cause the pipes to explode. But me being a newbie, I went full crank to the left. Like, I just let it rip.
Just let it go.
And then sure enough, the pipes just exploded. And I remember seeing, I think it was Mo, Lily, Kelly, they were all running at me telling me to stop, turn it off, turn it off. And I'm like, what am I doing? And then I was panicking. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't turn this off, because I didn't know you're supposed to push down and turn to the right. So I'm just struggling at this wheel like, oh my gosh, I can't turn this off. What am I going to do?
So you learned a lot that day.
Oh yeah, definitely a lot. And got wet as well.
But no one was hurt, hopefully.
No one was hurt.
No. Okay. And just a little bit of water and blown apart irrigation lines.
Yep, a lot of sweat, water, and tears that day. Yep. So
yeah.
Definitely wet. Yeah. So.
So we've talked a little bit about what you've enjoyed working on here at the Cal Poly Farm. And I guess, you know, thinking about that, speaking to folks who might be interested in working with us, you know, what do you think are the top three reasons why a student should consider coming here, and working with us at the organic farm.
Right. So, yeah, working here is great. I would say that, one, that all the people that you work with are great. They're fun to work with. They're very knowledgeable. And if you need help, we'll help you out. I feel like that's what makes this work environment so much different. Is like, yes, we're working hard, and yes, we're trying to get a lot of tasks done, but we're still working together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, we may be a couple feet apart in the field harvesting or weeding, or, you know, someone's on a tractor or someone's out, you know, in the field in the mud, but we're all still working together. And that's not just the farmers, it's along with researchers, the professors, grad students, mm-hmm. everybody doing their projects. We're all in this together.
That's right. You actually, you helped our plant pathologist, Dr. Ding, out, was collecting some research data this summer, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Yeah. I went out to, I believe it was Fresno, we were doing, I believe, powdery mildew collections on vineyards.
Yep.
So, yeah, and that, honestly, too, that actually segues into my next reason.
Okay.
Is that you get to learn a lot. No matter what your major is, no matter what background you have, you are going to be learning something. Whether it be educational, life lessons, you will be learning. You will be learning all the time here at the farm. And I'd say the third reason, I'd say it's a very fun job. It's fun. You get to work outside if people do like working outside. Mm-hmm. I know a fair share of people who quiver at the sun's rays when they ever step outside. But it's really fun to work here. Everyone's great. Kelly's an awesome boss. All of our coworkers are really fun, easy to get along with. And just overall the experience of going out and harvesting, getting fresh produce, and giving it to people who do need that. So I think that part is very valuable to me working here, is that I am making a difference along with so many other people who do care about mm-hmm. sustainable farming and just overall providing food for people. I definitely learned that farming and just agriculture in general in the United States is very underappreciated, because people can just walk into the store and then pick, you know, a fresh head of lettuce, but they don't understand like the work that goes into it. Like, they don't know about the amount of times it needs to be watered, or the amount of fertilizer that it needs, and, you know, when to time it, when, you know, the proper timing of harvesting. Mm-hmm. So with lettuce, like, I learned that if you just leave it out, it's going to bolt and it looks like a Christmas tree. Yep. And it tastes really disgusting.
It gets pretty bitter.
Yeah. We don't just say, oh, it's ready to go, let's harvest it. No, you got to find, you need to know the time window between that to know that, okay, it's marketable, it's ready to eat. And yeah, it's definitely very overlooked a lot in the United States. So
yeah, there's a lot of disconnect, I think. You know, we've done a really good job industrializing our food system to the point where there's just not a lot of us are directly engaged in it.
Mm-hmm.
And with that comes a lot of disconnect. But that's why we're having conversations like this, you know, is to try to shed some light on that. Hopefully, you know, if you're listening to this podcast and listening to Rowan, and you want to come and you're at Cal Poly and you want to come work with us, please reach out. We're always looking for good people. And it's a lot of fun, as Rowan said. So Rowan, thank you so much for sitting down with us today. Really appreciate it. And, you know, it's just such, for me, it's always such a pleasure to work with students who are really engaged in learning about agriculture and, you know, really defining what organic ag means for them and what they want to do with this as they move on into their future. So again, thank you so much for what you do, but also for speaking with us today, and wish you all the best.
Yeah, likewise, Matt. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Thanks for listening to Organic Chat. This podcast is recorded on the Cal Poly campus. Production provided by our production engineer, Mary Nascimento.